around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. David Langford here today. We'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Monday. It is Labor Day, September the 5th, 2022. We welcome everyone wherever you are today to this edition of the radio ministry. As you well know, we closed out yesterday our revival meeting. This is a pre-recorded program. I'll give you a thorough update next Monday on the 12th, but we had to do this to give me time to get back home and get everything put aside, because I wanted to give you a thorough update about how God moved. I know in my heart he's going to move in a mighty way, so I'll give you that update next Monday, September the 12th, 2022, and I know I'll be able to bring great, great, great news to you concerning the revival meeting. Amen. Before we get into the program today, though, I want to remind you of this new book, Leonard Ravenhill, entitled America is Too Young to Die, A Call to Revival. America is Too Young to Die. Get this book. I don't know how many we have left. We don't have a lot because they've been going out. But for a love gift of $25, that's postage paid, we'll send this book out to you. You can call us, write us, or go on our website. My wife will get the book out to you. It's a powerful, powerful, anointed book. You won't read it one time and lay it down and never pick it up again. I read it. I've read it many times. It is a powerful book. It is so apropos to where we are in America. And you know, I gave a spiritual alert back early June, and I asked you to pray for Donald Trump. Needless to say, the urgency that I sensed in my spirit is coming to fruition. We're in a very dangerous, dangerous, dangerous time. Let me say this, the next 27 months, listen to me closely, the next 27 months are the most dangerous and tenuous months that I have ever known in my lifetime for America. I was a child during the Cuban crisis when Russia wanted to send nuclear warheads to Cuba. I was but a child. But this is more than about war. This is about civil war, civil unrest in America. This is about tyranny and the overthrow of a government and of its people. The next 27 months, the next 27 months are some of the most dangerous months this nation will face. I wasn't alive during the Civil War. I don't know the feeling, the angst, the consternation, how people may have felt at that time. But because of America's sins were going to reap the whirlwind. And all I can do to you today is encourage you to pray, intercede, plead, petition God, beseech the Master's throne, come boldly to the throne of grace, and ask God to grant us mercy. And the time of trouble, we are in trouble and we don't even know it. That's the sad thing. The church, the world is in trouble and we don't even know it. We don't even know it. But if you walk in the Holy Ghost, if you walk in the Spirit of God, you know without a doubt. You are certitude in your heart, in your spirit, in your mind. You are certitude. We're in a very tenuous, uncertain moment. And only God can help us. I made up my mind to stay out of the politics, that part of it. Vote for what is right. Vote for those who are righteous. Vote for those who have great, godly, wholesome values. But politicians are not going to solve our problems. Crookedness, wickedness, debasedness, debauchery. This nation and its alphabet agencies are as sin-filled, sin-sick. They are deplorable. They are despicable. America is rotten. America is a rotten, filthy, immoral nation. And those who get by flaunt their sins. They flaunt their arrogancy. They don't ever believe there's going to be a consequences. And they may get by in this life. They may get by in this life, but they will not get by in the life to come. And because God does not execute judgment speedily, these idiots think they're getting by. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, because sentence or judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Why? Because God doesn't take a sledgehammer every time we do something wrong. But America is just not committing an evil act or act of sin here and there. We are full-blown, rank, raunchy sinners, filthy and moral. That may be a little too crass for some of you, but you need to hear the truth. You need to hear the truth. Had a lady call me the other day. She's a retired flight attendant. She said to me, I started listening to you, and she said, my God, I don't pray. I don't fast. I don't tithe. Yet I claim to be a Christian. See, people who really have a heart for God will embrace correction or reproof or whatever the case might be. They embrace it because they recognize that is the love of God. Every parent talks to their children in love before they ever discipline them, hoping that the voice, the words, the message will get to them and that will deter them. But sadly, some can't be deterred. They have to end up getting a whipping. And America is terribly ripe for judgment. We see what's happening in this nation politically. It's tyranny. It's tyranny. As Benjamin Franklin told the lady when he walked out of the church in Philadelphia that day, she said, what do we have? He said, a republic if you can keep it. If you can keep it. Well, I can tell you with certitude, it's gone. It's gone. And this nation is on the precipice of divine judgment from God Almighty. And the reason I say the next 25 months are so tenuous, after the midterm elections, if Russia or China is going to make their move, they'll make their move before another president can succeed Biden. They see how weak, fragile, incompetent, inept, how his mind is gone. And what a disgrace. What kind of a wife does he have that would suffer that? That's not love. That's not caring, concerned. That's, I got an agenda. I got something I want. Men seek their own. Philippians 2, 20, 21. Paul said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Did you hear that passage there in Philippians 2? Paul said, I have no man like-minded. His mind is like your mind, where he is willing to naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. In Colossians, Paul said, whatever you do is unto the Lord, do it with all of your heart. America is rotten. America is backslidden. You're not going to fix this with another congressman, another senator, another president. That's not going to change anything. The thing that will change America is seeking God. And God can fix this. I'm not doom and glooming that God cannot. He's given us the promises, the old renowned promise he gave Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be opened and mine ears attent unto the prayers that shall be made in this place. God can fix this. But without repentance, God ain't going to touch this nation other than allow it to be touched by divine judgment, by the hand of judgment. And that's where we are. You may think I'm negative today, and I certainly do not mean to be negative today. I mean to be as honest and factual and truthful as I can be. Because like the book Leonard Ravenhill wrote, America is too young to die. We're not even 250 years old yet. But for the last 60, 70 years, we've become so vile and so corrupt. And you know, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to move on. I am amused, I am amazed, I am dumbfounded that people will sometimes say, he preaches too hard. You have to be out of your mind as millions of illegal immigrants cross the border and flood this nation and destroying the infrastructure, destroying the educational structure, the medical structure. And all of these young guys, and they get off the buses with their cell phones, and they're wearing, you know, Air Jordan clothes. What? How does this happen? It's by design. It's by design. And yet there are those who think, I'm too hard at times because I preach uncompromisingly. Well, you listen to that garbage and you feed your spirit with that garbage and you'll not be prepared for what's coming. I don't know the day it will come, but I know in my spirit I have to be led by the Holy Ghost. I have to be led by the Spirit of God. I had a very significant dream a few weeks ago about the winter. And people were discussing how to stay warm. Then after that, I saw where in the United Kingdom they're going to have safe rooms where there you can come and the collective body heat will keep the room warm because they're cutting back hot water for showers, hot water for dishes, energy for heating the homes. This is a dangerous time, a tenuous time. And here's what's going to happen. When it all begins to totally unravel and there's no recovering, these idiots, and that's what they are going to say, why didn't somebody say something? Why didn't somebody tell us? Oh, you're being told. It's just most don't want to hear it. They want their best life now. That's the most asinine statement I've ever heard a man make. that's supposed to have some kind of spirituality about him. 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If this is it, if this is it, Paul said, we're all men most miserable. But this is not it, because we have hope in Christ and the second advent, his second coming. His second coming. And the world is full of chaos and restlessness. There's so much unrest in the earth. See, that's the spirit of agitation. When Jesus said in John 14:27, let not your heart be troubled. That word troubled there in the Greek means don't let your heart become agitated. Don't let your heart become agitated. Let not your heart be troubled or agitated, neither let it be afraid. There's an agitation. Some of you older folk listening know about the agitator in the washing machine. If you don't know what that is, Google it. What's the agitator in the washing machine? This is an era in which we're living in. And as I said, when judgment fills the land, there will be those who will have the audacity to say, why didn't God tell us? Why didn't God warn us? Why didn't God say something? He will not be left without a voice. It's just people don't care to hear the voice of God, the word of God. They don't want to hear it. Especially if it has any connotation that it might be a little bit negative in the application. But that's the state in which we are living in. And see, God is faithful in warning. Oh, God is so faithful in warning. I want to share from 2 Chronicles chapter 36, one of the most profound passages before the siege and the destruction of Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles 36:15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up quickly. He sent messengers, and that phrase, rise up quickly, that meant he sent them continually, and he sent them carefully. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up quickly and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. You don't see the warning of God as God's compassion, but that's what the man of God said. It's compassion from God. He had compassion that was twofold. Compassion on his people, Israel. Compassion on his dwelling place. Why? Because he put his name over Jerusalem. That's 2 Chronicles 6:6. Verse 16, 2 Chronicles 36:16, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy, no remedy. And the word remedy there simply means there was no opportunity for healing. No opportunity for healing. America needs a divine healing in our land, in our nation, in our government, in our leadership. Because we are rotten. This nation is so cancerous. So cancerous. Isaiah chapter 1. Beginning at verse 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. Even the very seed of this nation now is evil. Children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Gone away backward. What does that mean? They're backslid. They've separated themselves from a living God. Verse 5, Isaiah 1, verse 5. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Why should God send more judgment, ye will revolt. You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. The head. People wonder why there's lawlessness in the streets of America, because it starts in Washington, D.C. These are lawless, corrupt evildoers, and they are filled with evil seed. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness. Do you hear me? There is no soundness in this nation. All of these alphabet agencies are corrupt as hell. Every secretary, whoever they might call, whatever they're called, director, it don't matter. They're corrupt as hell itself. Don't think they are not. And they're coming after every one of us, because we're going to be persecuted first and then prosecuted, because the day will come. What I'm saying will be so disliked, and they will have such contempt and such disdain for us, they will prosecute you for preaching the word of God, because they will say the word of God is nothing but hate speech, making us, driving us, contending with us to call a man a woman and call a woman a man. You would understand more clearly, you would see more clearly if you would pray and read your Bible every day. Get on your knees before God. Let me go on. No soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. This is how God says, I see the head. Wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. They've put no salve, and they've neither bound up the wounds. If you could see America in the Holy Ghost, if you could see America in the Spirit of God, you wouldn't believe how raunchy, putrefying, wicked, vile, rotten. I mean, we are a rotten people. I know that may offend you. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm trying to decree how sinful and how sin-sick we are. And we all contribute to that sickness every time we sin. We all contribute to that disease of sin every time we commit the act of sin. He said, your wounds, they've not been closed, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. He said, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. That is the future of America. Your cities burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. As we watch the millions and millions of illegal immigrants come over this nation like an evil locust. They devour the land. Admittedly, I never thought about the gravity of all of these people coming to Texas and how it burdens the infrastructure of those cities until they started driving them to Washington and New York. And now those worthless so-called mayors want the government to help them. But see, if they would shut the border, it would stop it. But oh no, 87,000 new IRS agents to destroy the middle-class working people. Why don't you send 87,000 troops down there and shut the border and get the burden off of the backs of the people of America? But they're not going to do that, because they have an evil agenda. But let me say, you can have your evil agenda. You can have your evil and vile and wicked plots. But you will be destroyed by your own devices, America. Your leadership will take you down a road of death and one of destruction. This is dangerous. We are in a very dangerous, dangerous situation. Strangers devour your land in your presence. We watch them do this to us. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. They're overthrowing this nation. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage and a vineyard, as a lodge and a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. What good is the vineyard? What good is the cottage? What good are the cucumbers when the city is besieged? Verse 9, I'm going to stop. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom. We should have been like unto Gomorrah. Why does the prophet of God bring up the twin cities? Because they were so wicked. They were so wicked. And you say something about homosexuality now? That's hate speech. That's hate speech. You say anything about sin, you're an evildoer. You're the evil one. You proclaim righteousness. You herald doing the right thing in the name of the living God, Yeshua. You'll be the one that suffers profusely. I often wonder how many more weeks and months do I have before they say we're done with you. And I know, and I don't say this arrogantly or pridefully, I know I preach the word. I don't get on here and ever beg for money like the rest of those hirelings. That's all they are. They'll look you eyeball to eyeball and say, I'm God's man. I'm called to preach. But they beg, 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 beg. They're just another hireling in sheep's clothing. And someone called me the other day, and it broke my heart. Is this man telling me the truth? I said, it's garbage. The very fact that you question it is the Holy Ghost saying, there's something about this that's not right. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether it be of God, for many false prophets are going out into the world. They're charlatans. If I begin to name all the charlatans, it would take me the rest of the program. And sadly, many listen to these con artists. Listen, God and his word will forever be true. This has been going on forever. Balaam and Balak. Balaam was after reward, monetary reward. And Balak wanted him to help God punish Israel. Balaam did have enough sense to say, I cannot curse what God has blessed. But he told Balak how to get Israel to fornicate, commit evil sins, and God punished them. He was after gain. He was after personal gain. That's why the Bible says in Jude verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. See, error of Balaam for reward. You may wonder why I take such a disposition about money. It's evil. It's evil. All the money just spent again. Joe Manchin promised us, I'm going to do what's right. But they tricked him. They duped him. And that's what the Bible said, 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Joe Manchin got deceived by his own rotten peers. They deceived him. They deceived all the Republicans. That's right. Old Mitchie, Oh, Mitch McConnell got duped. You know why? Because they're deceivers themselves. That's why they get deceived. They got outfoxed by Schumer. He tricked them. He deceived them. And God knows this endless pages of legislation in the last decade, and nobody reads any of it. Nancy Pelosi says, we have to pass it to find out what's in it. Sounds like they take an enema to find out what's in it. That is so moronic. That is so stupid. This is leadership. And then we hear with rapidity, oh, no one is above the law. No one is above the law. Yet we see Biden and his son and Hillary Clinton and Comey and McCabe and Strzok and Lisa Page and all these evildoers. Nobody's above the law. Here's the great news. Romans 14:11. It is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow unto me, every tongue shall confess unto God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself unto God. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. I was reading, I'm studying very, very thoroughly and very much in depth the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew again about the future judgment. But of all the years, as many times, and only God knows the many times I read the book of Matthew, I saw something I had never seen before. Oh, I'd seen it in the natural with my eyes, and I read it. But it never hit me till the other day. And that's Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Did you get it then? Did you hear what it said? All the holy angels. I was stunned. I was blown away when I saw that. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 says, in heaven the angels are 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. You can't number that. The Greek says it's a myriad. It's innumerable. You can't count them. But it dawned on me why heaven will allow every angel to exit and come here to the earth, because God said his son Jesus will rule with a rod of iron. And remember, it is the angels that do the harvest and the reaping, and they separate the wheat from the tares. I'm giving you a little revelation, a little insight here. And I thought, now, because all the fallen angels will be in the abyss, Tartarus. Satan will be bound and cast into the bottomless pit. God can't afford to leave heaven and all the angels, because there'll be no angels, evil angels, to disrupt whatever's taking place in heaven. God is so awesome. All the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. All. I'd never seen that. And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Now maybe you're sharper, more keen than I. But I've read that, I wouldn't be afraid to say, 100 times. But when the Holy Ghost lets you see something, the magnitude of it is off the charts. All the angels. And we know in Revelation 5:11, that you can't number them. See, that's why we can't lose hope. That's why we can't get frustrated. That's why we must keep pursuing God and be diligent, be faithful, be disciplined. Just keep walking the walk, folks. Just keep walking the walk. Great God in heaven, one day, hallelujah, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, will return in all of his power and in all of his glory, and he will establish his kingdom fully in the earth. In the earth he will establish it. Righteousness and his glory will cover the earth like waters cover the oceans. Nobody's going to stop this. It just grieves my heart to the gravity, the enormity of the sins that are in this nation, and God must adjudicate it. God must judge us. Here's another horrible thing. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. And I can tell you emphatically, preachers are falling like flies. Churches are collapsing like flies. Every week I get emails and phone calls and letters. I can't find a church. I don't know that there's a week that passes by that I hear that statement. Why? It's the preacher's fault. They're dead, dead, dead. Just dead as they can be. Jesus said, the Spirit quickeneth. The Spirit quickeneth. When the Spirit of God is in anyone's church, anyone's assembly, the Spirit of God quickens every one of us. If he's there, if he abides in your life, if he has a place of residence, if he has a place of abode in your heart. John 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth or giveth life, for the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The Spirit quickeneth. The Spirit quickeneth. And if the Spirit, talking about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, if it raised Jesus from the dead, if he dwells in you, Paul said, our mortal bodies shall also be quickened by his Spirit that dwelleth in us. So the same Holy Ghost that quickened the mortal body of Christ and raised him from the dead is the same Holy Ghost that's going to quicken our mortal bodies and raise us from the dead if we die before he returns. But if the Spirit of him, Jesus, that raised us, but if the Spirit, talking about the Holy Ghost, raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. By his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The word by there means because his Spirit lives in you, because the Spirit of God has a place of residence in your heart. We need to press in, folks. You know, the Holy Ghost has a way of taking charge in these programs. I come in here prepared. I come in here having studied. I come in here having prayed and been in the Word of God before I even come to the office, trying to ascertain the mind of God. I pray for the recording. I pray for the taping. God, give us good days. God, give us an anointing. Touch us, Lord. The people need to hear the truth. They need to hear the truth from the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. They need to hear it. This is not a business. I know Luke 2:49. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. It is a business in a sense. It needs to be run correctly, run right. If it is a business, it's the greatest business in the world. I'm working for Jesus, the Lord's Christ. Jesus called me and put me in ministry. I didn't call him. He called me. He knew who I was. He knew my makeup. He knew my chemistry. He knew my shortcomings. He knew my downfalls. He knew all of that, but he says, I'm going to put you in ministry. And all those years running from God. I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want to do what I'm doing. But see, when you finally surrender, you realize how merciful God has been to you. Some of you listening to me, God has given you oceans upon oceans upon oceans of mercy. You know, I shared the other day from James chapter 5. James called it tender mercy. Tender, it ain't just mercy, James said. It's tender mercy. Tender mercy. Tender mercy. He, as great as mercy is in itself, James compounded that by saying it's tender mercy. And God, Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, wherein with his great love he hath loved us. So we see Paul says he's rich in mercy. James says he's tender in mercy. Look at there. Tender, rich mercy. Tender, rich mercy. Sadly, that tender, that rich mercy will come to a close. The day will come for America. The day will come for this nation that God will pull his hand back far enough that judgment can fall upon this nation. I cannot overly emphasize the next 2 years, 25, 26, 27 months. We need to be praying. Now, I know, I've heard them say it. God won't allow judgment to come on America before the rapture of the church. Many, 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 many are going to be, they're going to be in for a rude awakening, a rude awakening. You see, when you read the ninth chapter of the book of Ezekiel, when judgment began to come upon Jerusalem, specifically, started at the temple, he said, start at the temple. It got so bad, Ezekiel said, oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord God. But who did he spare? Those who wept, those who cried, those who sighed concerning the sins of the city, of the nation. And he went first through the city. Ezekiel 9 and verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. You see, that's who God's going to save, are those who are broken, contrite, humble, moved by the wickedness, moved by the sin, and are pleading with God. So before judgment begins, there's always the remnant. There is always the remnant of God that prostrates themselves before God and weeps and sighs and shed hot tears. I was reading in Ezekiel 14 the other day, and I saw an identical parallel with the four horsemen of the apocalypse in Revelation chapter 6. I don't believe the four horsemen of the apocalypse are rioting. They certainly were not rioting in Ezekiel's day. But listen to what the man of God said in Ezekiel chapter 14. I might have said 15 a minute ago. I meant to say 14. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 21. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore, S-O-R-E, my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword. That's the first one. That means war. And the famine. And the noisome beast. And the pestilences to cut off from it man and beast. There is an absolute similitude and likeness of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. There it is in Ezekiel's day. Now, we know in Ezekiel's day, it certainly wasn't the four horsemen of Revelation chapter 6. That's not the same. But it is an identical similitude and likeness in what God said he's going to do. How much more when I send my four sore judgments. And what were the judgments upon Jerusalem? The sword, the famine, the noisome beast, and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast. In other words, it would be, in essence, uninhabitable when God got through. When God got through with those four sore, S-O-R-E, those four sore judgments. As I said a moment ago, I never know how the Holy Spirit will direct the broadcast. I come truly prepared to obey God and do what God wills for me to do. But when I sit down here, I've asked God already before I get to the office, God, help me to obey you and everything that you want out of me. It doesn't matter what it is, Lord. Obedience is better than sacrifice. To obey is what God wants out of all of us. And tomorrow I'll pick up here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28. And then next Monday, I'll give you an update on the revival meeting that we closed out yesterday. I want you please to pray. Please. Please take 15 minutes a day. Just go somewhere. Get on your knees. Our God is not a hard taskmaster. He's not laborious. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, I'm not going to deny the fact that the enemy, Satan, will not come vehemently against you in your life. I'm aware of that. But you must stay in the secret place of the Most High. So when the noisome pestilence, he says here, noisome beast, in Ezekiel 14 and 21, when the sore judgments, sword, S-W-O-R-D, that's the first one. Famine's the second. Noisome beast is the third. And pestilence is the fourth. It's a portrait of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You can still buy a loaf of bread. It doesn't cost you a day's wages. But I believe everyone should be planning from October to spring. Make sure you're making the right preparation, provision for you and your family. If China does go on Taiwan, it'll disrupt everything in the world, especially the computer chips. And if America gets involved, Japan says you can use, we have troops. I think we have 26,000 troops. I may have the numbers wrong. 26,000 either in Japan or 26,000 in South Korea. But whatever the case, if they allow them to use their island, Japan, to take off and land, China may go after Japan, Hong Kong, Australia, South Korea, all of these little nations over there. It's a dangerous time. But my hope is in Christ. My faith is in Christ. My hope, my trust, my refuge is in Christ. I love Psalms 41, verse 11. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. I know that God has favored me. How can you say that? Because he's never allowed the devil to triumph over me. I've had battles, you've had battles, you've had struggles, you've had great intense spiritual warfare in your life. But you're still standing because God has favored you. He's favored you. He's helped you. Paul in Hebrews says he has succored us. He has kept us, given us the help, the aid, the assistance that we need. In spite of our difficulties, God has been the one to be the refuge. He's been the one to be the comfort. He's the one to be the hiding place. Aren't you glad for the hiding place of Christ? The hiding place of Christ our Lord. I pray today that something has been said, something has been done that's been an encouragement to you. I know it's been somewhat a heavy message, but I only come for one reason, and that is to tell you the truth. The truth is the only thing that sets men free, and yet preachers won't preach the truth. You see, we can be deceived by our government because they conceal, they hide the truth. If we knew the truth about things, it would set us free. And don't think that God is not observing all of the evil doers and all the evil deeds in this nation. Remember, there's going to be a set of books opened at the great white throne judgment. We're going to see the book of life, and it says, and the books. The books. What are those books? Those are record books that God has kept concerning people and their lifestyle. Revelation 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. So God is going to open these books. It's like an accountant. Remember, Romans 14:11, for every one of us must give account of himself unto God. The accounting. And I promise you, God's books are not cooked. God's books are thorough and they are honest. And what keeps the account settled is the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the wrath of God can never fall on anything that's been covered by his precious blood. See, Paul understood that. Paul conveyed that message, and he told us that in Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The church will be saved from the wrath of God, because the church is washed in the precious, precious blood of the Lamb. God bless you. God help you. Don't be discouraged. I'm not discouraged. I'm concerned. I am burdened. And I know that soon payday's coming. Galatians 6 and 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. He said, you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. Everything that I shared with you from Isaiah chapter 1, that's the corruption. Putrefying sores. Strangers devour your land. That's where America is. That's where America is. God help us. You can make a difference. You can do something about it. Well, what can I do? You can pray. You can provide incense. Revelation 5, verse 8. You can provide incense for the altar of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. We can change some things on earth if we talk to the Father in Jesus' name who is in heaven. Stephen saw him. We have eyewitness Jesus standing at the right hand of God. The right hand of God. Many times I look at that. You've heard me say this. No man has ever seen God. And though Stephen was having this great revelation and vision, he saw Jesus, but he didn't see God as to who he was to identify him. Somehow men and their stupidity think they can contend with an almighty God. How humble we should be. How contrite we should be. How lowly we should be in understanding we're but flesh. I pray that prayer so often, or I should say I pray that verse in Psalm 78:39. He remembered they were but flesh. A wind that passeth away cometh not again. Send this program to your friends. It'll upset them. But whether you're listening on YouTube or Rumble or wherever you're getting the broadcast, Blog Talk Radio, send it to your friends. Maybe they can be awakened from their slumber and from their sleep and realize how dangerous, realize how tenuous America is right now. The next 25 to 27 months, we're on the thinnest of ice. If I could use that analogy, we could plunge beneath the ice any moment. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm going to pick back up in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28. I'll see you then.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.